bread with, or that banana bread with some honey butter on it?
Do you want some?
No, I just had a sandwich before it came out.
Yeah, I'll just have a piece of candy. Oops.
This is going to look a little bad, but it's Swedish bread, please. Gordon Smith, they don't have it on hand, but you ask them to make it for you.
What kind is it?
Swedish Limper bread.
Basically, it's out of its Smitty's.
What's it made out of?
Oh, it's got some rye flour, and it's got, this Limper's supposed to be some kind of a raisin or something.
Because I didn't know.
Curds or something.
It sounds like that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Raisin breads and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
How long did Mom say they'd be gone?
Oh, I think it's January.
Mm.
That's good.
That's just a little piece.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that candy because it's not too rich.
Yeah.
It's really not too good. Sweet.
I like the coconuts too.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
They have some Reese's peanut butter chips now that they make. They're like chocolate chips, only they're peanut butter chips.
Oh.
They make really good cookies.
Do you want a paper towel?
Okay. Thank you.
Tom, finish.
Eat my piece. Some more. It's not too fattening.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got your roll and I made for you, and then we've got another roll yet to eat.
So good.
I just love them. And it's so easy to make. You have to keep it in the freezer because it's got uncooked eggs in it, but I think it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to boil the sauce for very long, or does
you
it just...
You don't cook anything.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm. That's why I make it, because it's easy. If it was a lot to do, I wouldn't make it. You just, you don't even get your hands in them. You just dip it out the spoon. You never touch it.
Mm.
You just put your marshmallows and your nuts, all the nuts you think you can afford. The more nuts, the better.
They're expensive.
Mm-hmm. But the more nuts, the better. And put them in a big bowl and stir them around with a spoon. And then you melt your chocolate. You get those squares of unsweetened chocolate, Baker's unsweetened without any sugar in them.
Uh-huh.
And you melt them in a cube of butter, cube of margarine, whatever. Just melt them real slowly in a double boiler or in a...
Don't you want this other?
No, you eat it. Get that all mixed up, and then you take two eggs. I don't have a beater, but I got one of those little wire things that I do that fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beat up two eggs. Then you take about 2 cups of powdered sugar and mix in with your eggs. Mix it all together and pour it in your bowl over your stuff and just stir it up. And then you have this foil mm-hmm. all laid out on the table and just sprinkle it with your coconut. On the foil, and then you just dip it out onto this foil, and then you just take your hands into the foil and kind of mold it. You
so
don't ever have to touch
good.
It. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
In the freezer.
It's a big long one, so don't hurry. Just take your time, and I'll save it for him. Play it for him when she gets home.
Hi, Ken and Kay. How's everything up there in Mud Lake? It's sure good to be over here and see your folks and. Just share a little bit with you now, and it's good to see Kim and Tom and hear what they're doing too. Sounds like what they're both doing is really interesting. think I'll let some of the other members of the family talk, too. Who wants to be first? Ellen?
That wasn't very long talk.
Oh, well, we'll do it some more then.
We'll pass it back to Dave when he thinks of some more here. He's not that short-winded. Is he, Sharon? No. It's good to be here and to get a chance to say hello to the folks in Idaho. We saw Elaine's picture in the paper a while back and read that article, and we try to keep track of what's going on up there through the paper, but we're not very good letter writers, as everybody knows. Sharon, can you tell Kay and Ken and their family hi? Oh no, you're bashful.
She's shaking her head.
Yeah. Can you say hello? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is the first chance we got to go down here to Phoenix and stay overnight. The whole family, since we've been here. Can you tell them what you did yesterday? Wow, you're really bashful. You got wet, didn't you?
She'll change in time.
Yes. You can't go swimming in Flagstaff right now, can you? No. But you did here, didn't you, Sharon?
Like the ice.
Yeah.
It was out at the Six Motel, out at Youngstown.
I bet Rebecca will talk.
They're all bashful. Well, let's see. Rebecca's going to a Christian school this year, and it's called the Indian Christian School. It's held at El Nathan Campgrounds, just right near Flagstaff. And Steve is in Weitzel School. He's a sixth grader and he's playing basketball and chess. He's looking forward to the chess tournament after Christmas here. And Paul's a fourth grader and he was playing basketball too until they bumped all the fourth graders after Christmas here. He'll have his chance next year. But I think he's going to be out there rooting for Steve. So will the rest of us. And he keeps busy with his 4-H projects, and so does Steve and Rebecca, and Sharon's already practicing demonstrating, so by the time she gets to be 9 years old, she'll know how to do it all just perfect, won't you?
You have a 4-H club?
Yes, we've got a, they call them the community club, and the kids are in the Tall Pine Aggies community club, and then they have project leaders in the club. Dave's leading a leathercraft group. And the kids are, all three of the older ones are in leathercraft. And then Rebecca's in clothing and woodworking, girls woodworking. And Steve is in electricity. Is this the fourth year you've taken electricity, Steve? Yes. Starting your fourth year. And then he's taking cooking and Paul's taking woodworking and leather. Oh, Rebecca's in leather too. And you're taking electricity. We'll
Dave
get them mixed up here.
Dave and I were wondering how it turned out with your pen pal. You know, we never did see you after you met her.
Yes. Well, I went from here over there and I talked to my pen pal and visited with her that day, and I haven't seen her since then either.
We didn't see you after you went to see her. Did she look like you thought she was going to look?
Oh, well, different from her pictures that she'd sent, but yet there was a resemblance. Of course, the pictures that I'd seen were when she was the age we were when we were corresponding more, when we were teenagers. And she's still here. We called her this morning and she's working this afternoon. She works as a nurse at the hospital somewhere here. So we talked by them by phone too. Well, can you think of something to say, Rebecca? No? Shall we stop it for a minute?
No, I want to tell them about my trip up to Montana.
Oh, Dave was up there in Montana this fall. He's the one that traveled.
Yes, I wanted to tell about a surprise visit at Montana Institute of the Bible, where I stopped on one of the deputation trips for the mission and wanted to visit the Montana Institute of the Bible, and I really surprised Wade Wadsworth and Sandy Gilstrap. In fact, Wade came walking through the door of the administration building and we about bumped into each other. And then Becky Hill is also attending there. And so I had a good chance to visit with the two from Mud Lake, and then of course Becky the daughter of the village missionaries that had been there. And then I got a chance to visit them down in Colorado, the hills, stayed overnight with them. So I, like Helen says, I do most of the traveling for the family, because that trip was over 4,000 miles up through Colorado for meetings there, and then Wyoming and Montana, speaking in several churches there, and then over in North Dakota to a conference. So I even get to see folks from Mud Lake and Montevieu when I'm out on trips like that. And then on the way back from that trip, I stopped and visited Earl Lanford and had a good visit with them in southern Colorado. You remember Earl Lanford, that his mother was Maud Wilford, that lived where Mrs.
They lived on the Canal Road.
Mm-hmm. Where Mrs. Tracy moved in.
No.
Kay and Ken just came back a few days ago from North Dakota and Florida.
Oh.
Oh yeah, they've spent two weeks.
Well, we may think of more and add to this, but so long for now.
Hello, this is Paul. I hope you had a nice Christmas, and I hope you'll have a good time forevermore.
That's pretty good.
This is Steve. Hello, Craig and Kurt and Cliff, all you guys.
Oh, okay. Hi, Elaine and Glenn and Mike and Colleen and Janie, if she's there. We are just staying home today. It's been awfully hot today. This is Thursday, usually the day that we go dancing on Thursday afternoon with everybody, but we didn't go today because Daddy rode in a van the other day. We rode in a van to the races with some people, and there was room for 12 people and 14 rode in it, so Daddy had to ride on one hip and kind of hold himself up with one leg, and somehow it kind of twisted his back, so he didn't feel like going to the dance, so we just stayed home. And Harvey and Priscilla and Bessie came over for the afternoon and visited with us. Harvey and Priscilla have been here a little over a month now, and they're just have had such a good time. They've just been so busy every minute. Bessie took him to California and Nicole, and so Bessie looked pretty tired today, but they're going to go home about Monday. So we're going to go to the Oregon Stop Pizza Sunday afternoon and have pizza, but the puny ones that can't eat pizza will have to eat something else. But the reason we want to go there, they play the Oregon and they say it's just beautiful. Susan maybe told you about it, because Kim and Tom took Susan and Shane that year they were here, and when Susan came back, she says, Grandma, you've just got to go to that, it's just marvelous. And we've never been, so we've decided now to go next Monday before Harvey and Priscilla go home. It's real warm out there. I just now looked and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 78 out there in the shade on our porch, so it's above normal. And but they said it was going to, the temperature was going to kind of taper off and it would be about normal pretty soon. I hope so. I don't like this too hot weather, because we've had so much rain. It's been raining for about 6 weeks, and it's been wonderful for the country, because they really needed it for the moisture. It made the lettuce kind of rusty, and it made it so they didn't get their cotton picked as well as they thought they should. But I think the moisture will outweigh the damage that the damage that did. I think the good it did will outweigh that. You said you wanted us to tell you something about your life before you were 5 years old, before we moved up to Jones's. Well, that's been a long while ago. 46 years is quite a while for me to remember back, so I just remember the highlights. I remember that Daddy and I and Ben, who wasn't quite a year old yet, came from Mud Lake to stay at my mother's in Lorenzo, waiting for you to make your arrival. And Daddy waited around 2 or 3 days, and then he decided he had to get back to Mud Lake to take care of the stock, so he left for home.
and it was a deep snow, hard winter. So he left, I think he left on New Year's Day. And the next morning on this cold, foggy, icy, roaded morning, you sent out signals that this is the time. And the nearest phone was at the Lorenzo store, so we called Dr. Rich. That was Dennis Rich, his father. And then we decided that you just weren't going to wait too long, so they ran and got Mrs. Carpenter, and she came over. And about that time, you just made up your mind you weren't waiting for anybody, not the Stark or the doctor or anybody. So you came, excuse me, Mrs. Carpenter tied the card and waited patiently for the doctor to come because she didn't want to do much more. But he soon came right afterwards, thank goodness. And I can still see his team out there with her, all covered with frost on this cutter. And they, you could see their breath, and he'd been coming pretty fast because he was a pretty good doctor and he wanted to get there. So as soon as he got in there, he picked you up by the feet and held you upside down, and he said to me, "This is what's causing you all your trouble." But everything was fine, and you just got along fine. But the children in Lorenzo never did quite understand how come you got there before the doctor did. Everybody was saying, "Cleo's baby came before the doctor got," so that would really worry the kids in Lorenzo. Last I knew, they hadn't figured that one out yet. Ben was just, of course, just a year old, and he just learned to walk. And he'd walk around the bed, and every time you'd make a little squeak or something, why, he'd say, "Kitty, kitty," and then he'd walk behind the bed and pull my hair. So he was quite a nuisance, but he kept things going, so we didn't get lonesome. And you were born during the Depression, and there was no money, not even film, to take pictures. And every time, and then we stayed there with my mother, I say it was about 2 or 3 weeks until we thought you were good and strong and I was good and strong. And then we went back and we lived in the little log building there that's on the place where we live now that George has started to tear down 2 years ago and hasn't got done yet. And every time I'd wash, because I had to wash by hand in the tub and hang the things up in the house to dry them, and every time I'd wash, either you'd be sick or Benny'd be sick or both of you'd be sick, so it was quite a miserable place to live. Then when spring came, we moved back over on the homestead, and that's where you've heard us telling about when I'd go out and hit the grass and the weeds and everything to be sure there were no snakes. And how I happened to know that the snakes were coming that close one day, I heard old Fritz, and he was barking for all he was worth. And I went out there, and this big old snake was all curled up with his head sticking up out of his ring, and he was waiting for Fritz to come close, but Fritz was pretty smart. He knew enough to stay away from there. So after that sure did worry me. I'd go out and really beat things up before I'd let you out to play. You and Benny grew like little weeds over there. You didn't care whether it was depression or not, so you really grew and did well. I didn't have a bit of trouble with either one of you. And then when you were about five, I guess it was, we moved up to Jones's place, and that's where Benny started to school, and that's when you started to really show us that you were going to sew regardless, because you just kept me busy threading needles and drawing little simple stems of flowers with petals and leaves on the stem so you could embroider lazy daisy stitches and do outline for the stem. And soon you wanted to do more difficult things, and since I'm no artist, I made copies of objects from your color books. Then pillow topping and embroidered it and gave it to me. I still have it. I saw it not long ago. I can't just remember where it is, but I remember seeing it. Then after Kay was born, you made dresses and slips for her. And guess, so I guess sewing has always been interesting and easy for you. You right here, Elaine, is where I erased it. I didn't mean to, but I pushed down the recording and the play, and I erased this. But this, I think right here is where I was telling how you sucked your thumb, and you were so cuddly, and I hated to break you sucking your thumb because you were such a cuddly baby. Benny was always so rambunctious and didn't want to be cuddled, but you'd just suck your thumb and cuddle right up to me. And then I went and erased it. I don't know how I happened to do it. It made me so mad, but I finally broke you of doing that. Start playing with the ball or your dolly or something like that. And you forgot to suck your thumb. I hated to kind of break you because you were such a cuddly baby. You were so different from Benny. Benny was so, he just didn't want to be bothered with anything, but you would just cuddle up and suck your thumb, and that was really, really a nice feeling for you to do that. So I kind of hated to have you quit sucking your thumb, but then it was, I was glad when you did. Whenever I'd make you anything new, sew for you, we didn't have a rear, we didn't have a full-length mirror, so you'd just strut around the house and look behind you and just really admire everything I made for you, and that made me feel good too. Bessie was here with Harvey and then a little while, and I said to Bessie, what can you remember about Kay or Elaine? What can you remember about Elaine that that we could tell her about? She said, oh, and I've heard her say this so many times, not just today, but she said, I've always wanted a little girl, and I always thought, oh, wouldn't it be fun to have a little girl? I'd want her to be just like Elaine. So that's quite a compliment, isn't it? So Benny started to school when we stayed at Jones's when you were five, and he just turned six. And he'd come home every night and teach you everything that he'd learned all day, and you learned it too. When you started school the next year, you went, here's where I erased it again, but this is where you went, and I said, what did you learn the first day? And you says, oh, Mama, that teacher, you know what she did? She made me write my name all day long, and I knew how to write it already. To make you understand what school was all about, and then you really got into it. I think you always enjoyed school. I was asking Daddy this morning, what do you remember about Kay or Elaine? I always say Kay instead of Elaine. What do you remember about Elaine when she was little? And he said, oh, I can't say anything, but he's going to try here.
Well, all right. All I remember is that you had that cat in the baby buggy, and the cat get out, and you'd put him back so many times he got, so he just stayed there and slept. And you'd wheel him all over, and your little nigger doll that had buttons for eyes, and that's about all I remember.
And about carrying the things out of the shed, you said?
Oh, and then carrying all the irons and stuff out of the blacksmith shop down there, Grandpa's. So,
Daddy says that's enough. It's hard to get him to talk on
you. I can't talk and think. The only way I can talk when I don't think.
Well, anyhow, he said that he remembered all these things about, and I remember that little doll. You know, I'd forgotten all about that little Negro doll, nigger doll. We called it a nigger doll, and now I guess you'd call it a colored doll. Wouldn't dare say nigger. But, and then I remembered, too, how you did carry all that stuff out of Grandpa's blacksmith shop, and we couldn't hardly get around until we got up in the morning and picked up things so we could move, and then by my night you had it all out there again, you and Ben. And let's see, Evelyn, when she talked to us, at first she sounded like she wasn't used to it, then she talked to us a whole hour and a half. She sent us a tape, and she started on Groundhog Day. And then she sent it to us the 16th of February, and it was 45 minutes on each side. That'd be an hour and a half. And she talked. She turned it off when somebody came in the post office. Then she'd turn it off. And she talked to us all that time, and it was so much fun to listen to it. And finally, she kind of got relaxed and just really talked. And that's the way we're going to have to learn to do this. The first time we've tried it, to talk on here. I went up to the Revco drugstore and bought some little tapes, and I bought three of them, 60-minute tapes for $1.79, and I thought, gee, I'm sure that's sure a bargain. But I come home and put one in, and I don't know what I didn't do right, but it all fouled up, so I have to put you on this one. The first part of this is Tom turned it on when Kim and Ken were here, or Kim and Tom were here one day, and Tom turned it on when Kim and I were talking about making this candy. And then the first part of it is Patterson's. They were here, the people that were used to be at the church in Mud Lake. They were here, and we went out to lunch with them, and had Kim and Tom with us, and they talked onto this tape. So the first part of this is meant for Kay and Ken. So if if they come over to your place or you go over there, why they can listen to this and about the Pattersons. And let's see. Daddy said it's a good thing you can turn this off when you get so you're starting to hum and haw and can't think of anything to say. Ben called, I think it was last Thursday or Friday morning he called and said everybody was fine, that they had 19 inches of snow and it was 14 degrees that day, and so they've had a lot of winter. He said they even had more snow than they had at Bozeman. And then Freddie called the other morning and said that Aunt Sarah wanted me to write. She phoned Aunt Sarah's address to me, and Aunt Sarah wanted me to write to her, so I wrote to her this morning. She's down to California visiting Afton, and Freddie said she had the cast off of her shoulder, and I don't know why she was so anxious for me to write to her, unless maybe she and Afton might be going to run up here or something. I don't know why I couldn't figure out why that was so important for me to write to her, because I wrote to her after you told me she'd got hurt. And Freddie said the Grays got home all right. They left here last Monday, and I was worried about them because there were such big old black clouds around. I thought, gee, they might get in a flash flood. But Freddie said they got home okay. It took them 3 days. But Mrs. Gray has been real ill, and she said she didn't look very good yet. And so I was glad they got home okay. And we went to Mesa. We went over to Mesa to the picnic last Saturday, and Harvey and Priscilla and Oakley and Myrtle went with us, and we saw the Oriole Becks over there, and some people by the name of Keith Parkinson. They both said they knew you. They were with some people by the name of Hankels that ate dinner with us. And then we saw Oriole Beck's sister, Mr. and Mrs. Coon, talk to them. They drew lucky numbers for the centerpieces that were on the tables, and it was funny. I knew two people that got them. Harvey got one, and then Mrs. Oriole Beck got one, so I knew two people that got those. Then that night, as soon as we got home, Bessie had invited us over to her court to go to a dance, so we all went over there and went to the dance. So the picnic and the dance, that was quite a tussle for us the next day. We were really, really tired. Then, let's see, guess that's about all I can think of right now. I'll think of something else after a while. Oh, I wanted to tell you about Joyce, Jones Spalding. She was down here, and she had Elsie with her, her mother, and they were staying over to the motel over here just a little ways, and she found out that we were here, and so she called, and we made an appointment to go over and visit with her. So Daddy and I went over and visited at the motel with her. And Elsie is in quite a bad shape. She's has emphysema very bad. She has to carry a tank of oxygen with her all the time, and if they take her anywhere, they have to have a wheelchair and wheel her around. They had her to the races one day in a wheelchair, and they took her to different places in a wheelchair, but she always have to have this oxygen with her. And they said Catherine was just the same, only Catherine couldn't walk at all. Catherine's in a walker, so those girls are really in a bad shape, and with this emphysema and everything. And Joyce's daughter, I don't know whether you know her or not, but she's one of the girls that she had by her first husband, by Larry Jones. Her name is Teresa Jones. And she is going to the AEC down here to college, and she's taking drama. And so they said that out of 500 people that they checked or tested or had auditions, whatever you call it, they chose Joyce's daughter, Teresa, to play in this film. They're making a film. I think it's going to be on TV, and they might even make a movie film out of it. It's called Blue Jay Summer, and they're filming it out to Apache Junction. And so that's one of the reasons she was down here. And she was telling us all about this girl. She said she's sure a talented, nice young girl. And she gave me this book, the book to read on. It's called Blue Jay Summer. And Joyce gave me one of the book to read. And she said, now, this is kind of a trashy story, Cleo, so don't get too upset about it. She says, I hope they can cover up a lot of this, because that daughter of mine is really a nice girl. She's not the kind of a girl that this book talks about. But she's taking this part. She's a star in this film, so they were down here, and she'd go out just about every day and see how they were doing. And she was doing this girl's washing and just visiting with her more or less. But I read this book, and it is trashy. I don't know how they're going to make a film out of something like that. So they went home. She went home and took Elsie with her. She had driven down here in a car, and she went home, took Elsie home with her. They went right in all that storm, but I called Huey Johnson's sister, that's Joyce's aunt, the next day, and she said, yeah, they just got there fine, that they didn't have much trouble. Said there was lots of cars off of the road, but they got there just fine. And coming over Saturday, that's tomorrow. This is Friday now. I didn't do any more recording last night. This is Friday, and she's coming over Saturday to visit with us. She said Tom couldn't come because he's working so hard. He's working full time. He goes to work at 3 and doesn't get home till 11. And then she said he goes to school beside, and she said he's just exhausted. He's been working Sundays and all. They seem to have a... I said, well, with all this unemployment, why can't they get more help? And she said, well, I don't know. They get real busy, and then they work them real hard, and then if they have a dull place, they lay off a whole crew at once. So she didn't know what to think about it, but she was hoping that they could get some kind of a part-time job for him so he wouldn't have to work so hard, because she said she thought his schooling was the most important, and he's only going to school till next October, and then they plan on going back to Bozeman. They bought a little piece of land there, and they've got all kinds of plans about getting one of these log cabin kits or something and putting it up themselves. And we were over there a couple of weeks ago. They invited us over for dinner. They have a puppy. His name is... and they have two cats. One's named Zippy and one's named Zonky. And then the puppy's named Zachary, and they call him Zach. It starts with a Z. They spell it Z-A-C-H. And I'm in here in the bedroom because I don't want people the next door to say that old lady over there talks to herself by the hour. So I come here in the bedroom, and I haven't got the door shut, but I don't think anybody will hear me clear back in here. Let's see about Kim. We were over there, and she had so much to do with that cat, those two cats and that dog. When I got home, I told Daddy she just might just as well have a baby, because she was training him to go to the sandbox and training the dog to go on the newspapers, and they had to have certain things to eat and certain dishes, and they had to watch him from going out in the street. And so we really thought she just might just about as well have a baby. But she said yesterday that they're building a fence around so that they can put the dog outside. So that's what they're going to do. Well, this morning I was trying to think of some more things about you before you were about five, and I remembered how you and Benny over at the homestead, whenever I'd have to mop the floor or scrub the floor, I just didn't mop it, I had to scrub it, because it was a board floor with quite wide cracks in it, not wide enough for the rattlesnakes to come up, but they were pretty wide. And I had to really soap up the water and scrub it. And if I let you stay in there, well, Benny'd take a big run and then he'd skate, and then he'd fall down in all that suds and get himself all wet. And then you'd think it was fun too, so you'd do the same thing, and you'd get up, your little dresses all wet. So I used to put you outside and lock the screen door. And you were really, both of you really mad. You'd just cry and stomp on the ground, but I just couldn't help it. That's the only way I could get my floor mopped, and so I'd hurry and mop and let you come back in. I guess it was about the time you were about 3 or maybe 3 and a half when I knew that you were interested in cooking, because you said to me one day at the table, you said, when I get big, I'm going to cook dinner for you and Daddy. And I said, you are? What are you going to cook us? And you said, oh, lettuce and ice cream. So that must have been about the first time we thought about convenience dishes. We didn't know anything about convenience dishes in those days, so we had to cook everything. But I thought that would be pretty good for you, easy for you to cook, is ice cream and lettuce. Oh, Kimmy said she was going to bring a friend with her tomorrow, and that and they were going to bring their tennis rackets. Kay gave them, Kay, Tom and Ken, or Tom and Kim, tennis rackets for Christmas, so she's going to bring them over, and she said they were going to play tennis, and they'd bring their swimming suits, and maybe they'd go swimming. And I told them to come in time for lunch, so now I've got to go and mail it. I've got to go to the up to the store. There's a post office up there, and I'd like to get this off to you. I'm afraid I'm going to have a lot of tape left, so what I'd like you to do, if you want to, is to tell me all that you told them at church Sunday, or you could read, if you've got notes, you could just read them off or onto the rest of this tape, because we're going to have a lot of tape left. This is 30 minutes on this side, and I don't think I've over got about 5 minutes on it so far. So there'll be a lot of tape left. This is really a good kind of tape. I'm never going to buy any other kind. It has a big window, and you can see the tape running. You can tell just how much you've got done and how much you're going to have left to do. I took Daddy up. He likes up to the hot pool. He's been in the hot pool twice. I think his back's quite a bit better today. We didn't go up to anything. He said he thought he could go out and play bingo tonight, but we're not going to potluck tomorrow. We're just going to kind of take it easy. And I'm going to have Kim and him anyway, so that'll be enough for me to do tomorrow. And let's see. Oh, on Valentine's Day, I got the nicest letter from Christy, and the kids had sent me two cute little Valentines, and they'd done all the printing on it to Grandpa and Grandma, with love from Robbie and with love from Amy. And then on the back of the envelope, Christy put, this is Rebecca's unwanted contribution. She'd scribbled all over on the back of the envelope. So we heard from all of them, and Christy wrote such a nice letter to us. And then Kay sent us a beautiful Valentine, and we got a nice letter from her. Be sure and don't erase any of this tape on the front there, because that's one I promised Kay that I'd play back for. Of course, I don't think you want to erase this anyway, but it's hard to get Daddy to talk. Maybe when we get home and we get this, you can interview him, and maybe he'll tell you a few things, but I just can't get a thing out of him. I wish I'd have had it over to Oakley's the other night, if I could have got it back of him somewhere where he couldn't hear, He got on a talking spree telling Oakley all about Mud Lake and all about Brozick and Jacket stealing cattle and everything, and we could have really had a great big long tape on all that stuff that they did. But if he'd have known, I could have sneaked out, I think, and got it and put it right behind him, but I didn't have it loaded with tape, and so I didn't. But if I could just catch him like that when he didn't know it, why then, it's like he says, the only time he can talk is when he's not thinking. Did I tell you that we are going to go to the Oregon Stop Pizza? It's called an Oregon Stop Pizza. Well, yes, I told you, I remember. Well, I'd better finish this up so I can wrap it up and take it up and mail it to you. I'd like to leave it till tomorrow so Kim could talk on it to you, but I'm afraid if I leave it too long, you won't get it in time to make your talk. I'll just tell you how we felt about you. You were a small-boned, dainty, lovely little girl, just a little plump as you were turning from a beautiful baby into a pretty little girl, and you always looked so pretty in pink, so I sewed you lots of pink dresses. And I remembered making a pretty pink coat. It wasn't a winter coat, just one you could wear in the spring or evenings. And your hair was very blonde until you were about 10 or 12 years old before it began to darken. You have been 46 years of pure joy to us, so why don't you just set this and turn it on when you give your Sunday school talk. I'm sure there's plenty of tape on side two to do that. It will pop up when it's done. I'd better wrap this pretty good and send it first class. Evelyn just put hers in an ordinary envelope and sent it third class. It was lucky to come through. The envelope was all broken, so I'll wrap this good. I haven't learned how to rewind this thing. You see, when I rewound it, then I pushed down on the record and the play, and I erased some of it back there, but I tried to put it back in. But the main thing I was telling you is about how bored you were when you first went to school, because Benny had taught you how to add and how to subtract, and you knew all your letters, and you knew your alphabet, every word, and you could write all kind of different things. So school, you were pretty bored in school for the first little while, until they started teaching you things that was a little bit interesting to you. Hope you know how to rewind this thing and make it work. I rewound the first side, and then when I come back and turn the second side to play it again, I guess they rewind at the same time. So then there I had the go back clear to the front to get where we were talking. So now I'll rewind this and see what happens. Or better still, why don't you get a new one of these and send us a tape. I just love it. You could put your Sunday school talk on it, and then you could all visit on us and send us another one, and then you could use this for just anything you want to, just so we get it over to Kay sometime, or we come home and Daddy could talk on it, or just anything. But I'd sure like to have a tape. Maybe I'll learn how to run this thing after a while. We've had a lot of good experience already. I forgot to tell you that at the Idaho picnic the other day, the Pierre Playhouse people entertained us, and they were so good. They come down here in the winter, and they've got a playhouse up by Cave Creek, and they just came to advertise, to entertain us and to advertise too. But they were going to have a matinee, and we were about to all decide to go to it. And then when we found out that they charge $4 and $5 a seat for it, why, we all cooled off and decided we'd do something else with our $4 and $5. But I was going to tell you some of the corny jokes they told. One of them, they said, "No, Grandma, we can't take you to the roundup because you can't get your calves together." And another one, they were telling it on this Egbert. They said that his folks had a great big yard when he was a little boy, and they had a nice sandbox back there, but they didn't dare let him play in it because his mother was afraid that the cats would cover him up. So it was all corn like that, but they were so cute, and they played us some pretty music, and we had a sing-along, and it was really nice. Oh, yes, and the Shardy Sritters, they live over at Apache Junction, so they were to the Idaho picnic too, so they ate with us at the same table as we did.